From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Yo, we are Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Big Blue Roundtable, Tight Ends episode. Going to talk to Tight Ends, Steve, Chris, stakeholders. The call number 929-477-4171, of course. Streaming live always on BleedBlueShow.com. If you go over to our website, BleedBlueShow.com, hit the listen to us, get the live feed, the live stream, and hear the sports fans and the stakeholders sound off. Chris, we have a technical difficulties. You know how this thing does sometimes. Man. You may want to hang up and call right back in because I don't know what the hell is going on. If you can hear me, just hang up real quick and then call right back in. We'll bring on the stakeholders after that. Talking tight ends, of course, the unit with Evan Engram, Scott Simonson, Ray Ellison. I think that will round off everything this offseason. We covered everything else, and I'll get to it when I can. When it comes to the grades for all the units, offensive side, the defensive side, going to get to all everything, post those grades up as a unit, as a stakeholder platform, you know, just all the collective grades. We're going to put it out there. I don't know when I'm going to do that, but it will get done, though, like we've done the last couple of years as well. Quick notes before we get into the football stuff, because next week, matter of fact, the schedule is already available for next week's episodes for all the squads, all the sports. If you go to the schedule tab on BleedBlueShow.com, you can see the whole lineup for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Even earlier this week or last week, however you want to look at it, the recap we did also on the college hoops, the boxing, you know, try to get into the other areas as well, talking sports. But this episode is on the roundtable. This is the last area, the tight end. I'm looking forward to the grades, the feedback to get from the sports fan. We're getting into a lot of what I think for next week is it's one of my favorite episodes of all the platform of what we do for the sports side of things. I am looking forward to April 11th. That's next Thursday, 8 p.m. A full two-hour episode. I'm about 85% done with my mock draft, my stakeholder draft. I hope the stakeholders are almost done with theirs or they've looked into it, because we're going to go pick by pick, round by round for the Giants as it stands. You know, the two first rounders, the second round pick, so on and so forth. They got a lot of picks in the fourth, fifth round, something like that. And looking forward to what the stakeholders think they should do for the stakeholder draft and mock draft as well. So the call number, 929-477-4171. Chris was here. He'll be right back in a few. We're going to get into a roll call time because we're going to talk these tight ends. Any additional news with the squad? I don't think there's really much since the Odell Beckham Jr. trade that I could think of. If any stakeholder wants to bring that up, bring that to the table, to the forefront. We'll get to the to everything else as far as news with the squad, but we got to get to the tight ends. But first, let's get to the roll call. We'll bring on Bakes from the Frontliners, NYG Frontliners on Instagram. Frontliners NYG, the Twitter, and of course the page of the Frontliners. Thanks. Hello, say hello to the people, man. What's going on, man? How's everything?
What's good, family? What's good, Azul?
Good.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday again. I know your birthday was last week. I know you was keeping it low key, but happy birthday to you.
Salute!
Yeah, I mean, no complaints. Everything is good. Just waiting for the draft. Going to be out there in Nashville. Excited for, I guess, in a couple of weeks, the schedule should be coming out. We already know we got Tampa on deck, we got Chicago, and we got a homecoming game in New Jersey, but we're just waiting to see how it's going to pan out with the schedule. But, man, just excited, man, looking to talk some tight ends, we'll round up through the grading system.
Right, right. Shouts to base. Salutes on the birthday, salutes. Appreciate that. Let's get to the big O. Peace and blessings, brother. How's everything?
Peace and blessings, fam. What's going on?
Nothing much, man. How's everything? Good?
Man, everything good, man. Just, you know, out here just like Bake said, man, waiting on this draft. You know, ready to talk some football, man. You know, real football. You know?
Right. Dude, I no, be honest, when you heard me about a couple minutes ago, you know, the stakeholder draft is one of my favorite episodes of all the squads we do. I hope
right.
we hear from you on that episode. You and Bakes. I hope
I'm doing my homework. I'm doing my homework, and I have explanations for my picks as well, you know. I'm doing my due diligence, man. I'm getting in there with my little spare time. I'm, you know, getting my mind. My little hobby is doing something like that, man, looking into college players and, you know, trying to just do something with a little spare time sometimes, man. Just trying to figure out what these scouts be seeing that I don't see when they make whack picks. But, you know, we're going to figure some things out next week on this mock draft and see where everybody's minds is at, man. If everybody's really looking deep and understand the needs and, you know, how to, you know, do this thing, man. It's kind of fun, man. So I'm excited about it.
Yo, you took a lot of the thoughts on why I love the stakeholder mock draft process. It is fun. I love it. I love
right.
looking and researching, watching techniques, the videos.
Yep.
The homework, that stuff is fun because you know why? Oh, because if you go back to the last year's episode when we did the stakeholder draft 2018,
right?
A lot of the Giant fans on this platform nailed those picks almost verbatim,
right?
Almost every round,
right?
And that's because
right.
and there's no platform in the base, there's no platform in the entire fan base that was ahead of the curve like the Bleed Blue Show, the Big Blue Roundtable. Nobody was
right.
ahead of the curve. We
right.
nailed those picks. I mean, the Barkley and the Hernandez pick was easy. Well, it was logic,
easy.
Common sense. But everything after that,
right.
everything after that
yeah.
is, you have
we
to do
call,
you have
you know
to
what,
do your
Carter, yep, Carter and I can tell Jet, I mean, you know, Sim, I can speak for them. They was on that Carter thing, man. There's a couple of picks, man. I mean, they the ones who got me on this mock draft thing and really, you know, getting detailed and looking at these players when they come in and, you know, grades and all that, the techniques and everything like that, man. I don't know if you got to be really into football. Like, you can't just love your team. You got to love football, period. So if you're a person
right,
that loves
right.
football, man, then the mock draft is something I do advise you should get into because then it allows you to watch other games and, you know, watch these players perform. And I don't know, man. I guess you got to be a football head, like I said, man, it's just to understand what we're saying. If you're a football head, then the mock draft is something I would advise to get into, and if you really want to get detailed about this about football, and know your players, man, and know your team. That's why we was pretty much adamant about the Giants because we knew what we had, and a lot of them was just a bunch of 2-tier, 3-tier players, man. We really wasn't hitting anything, you know what I'm saying? But you know. Outside of Odell and some of those players Reese brought in that did something. But other than that, man, we was pretty dead on our team. We knew that team sucked, man, and we got to get out of that mode and change it up. So let's see what the fans got, man. Let's see if the fans think in the same way, and let's see how the owners are thinking, man, and the people that's really getting paid to do this. Let's see if they actually can do the job. If we shouldn't be out thinking these folks, man. They should be pretty much, you know, hitting this thing dead on. But last year, like you said, man, the stakeholders and the roundtable, man, hit it so good. It's kind of make you question these people in the office, like, what the hell's going on? The fans can make good mock drafts and picks, man. What the hell? You know, so, hey, it is what it is, man. But like I said, man, I can't wait till next week and see what everybody's thinking when it comes to this mock draft.
A full two-hour episode next week, Big O. And, Chris, I know – you heard what Big O said. I mean, the stakeholder mock draft next week, April 11th. As a matter of fact, it's a two-part series, but the majority of the stakeholder mock draft will be April 11th, next Thursday, 2 hours starting at 8 p.m. Because I can't wait to hear your mock draft, as well as Big O and Bakes and all the stakeholders that are going to participate, because we've been ahead of the curve. The homework part is probably the most fun part for me, Chris. But what's going on, man? Big Blue Roundtable, man. How's everything, Chris?
Hey, I got to interject something, Steve. and I keep laughing about it. I've been laughing about it for like 3 years, okay? I've been cracking up for 3 years, man, about this, man. But the 2016 draft, we all went live, right? And Larrabee Tunsil is his name. He fell out of the top 10.
Yep.
And either one of us, I mean, we were either going to get Leonard
Eli
Floyd,
Apple,
if I remember
bro.
Correctly, Leonard Floyd or Jack Conklin. And when as soon as the dude announced, the commissioner announced that we got Eli Apple, Big O goes, he's like, who the hell?
Yeah, I thought we got punked. I thought it was a joke. It
was the funniest shit ever. And because it was out of nowhere. We wasn't even looking at this dude, man. And
man.
It was hilarious. And I remember then it was like a whole silent. When we go back to archives, you'll check it out. We all gasped
God.
And went then it sounded like this. Cause we didn't know what to say. You know, and that's what these drafts do to you, especially if you play mock, man. If you're mock drafting,
right.
you do a hell of a lot of research. You actually do. You find yourself doing more research than you anticipate. Because you're looking at our needs, and then you're looking at the prospects and what can they do, what kind of strength of schedule do they have, who do they play against, whatever, and then the combine numbers come in, which is how Apple leaped up a little bit, so we saw that, man, and we were all taken aback, and that's what I think. I hope that we don't. It's kind of a twofold problem, man. I mean, if Apple had panned out, then we wouldn't be talking about it as badly. But he did.
Let me say this real quick, because part one, see, next week is about us, like the big O's, the worms. You know, everybody
all
who calls in. It's their draft. It's our draft. The stakeholder draft. That's what we think we should do as an organization based off what everything what Big O said. I'm not going to repeat all that because he was spot on. But the following week, the week before the actual NFL draft, we're going to sit here and actually think, add on to what our stakeholder draft was, but also what do you think that Giants are actually going to do? That's, we blend in both aspects. We look at the fans first, that's us, the stakeholders, and then it's the team next week, and then the week after that, like Bake said, in Tennessee, it's all going to be all about what they're actually going to do. So I'm looking forward to the whole, like all said, Chris. Now we're gonna get into the Titans because we got a quarter of an hour to get this done. The homework part for me has been the most fun. I already started it. Like I said, I'm about 80% done. I actually love my mock draft. I'm just gonna go back and do some fine tuning. Just go over some notes that I mean some loose ends basically. I'm looking forward to everybody. I'm really excited because I didn't think it was going to be this good as far as what mine look like on paper, and I'm looking forward to everybody else's perspective. And it's realistic, too. There's no BS to it either. It's like, it's not like no Madden shit. You know what I'm saying? This is real. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we could land this guy in this round because of this or the scenarios. And, I built all that in. Looking forward to everybody's perspective, dude.
Right. It's important too, man, because it kind of broadens your football acumen, man. Especially with the team you love. You're really. Sometimes I feel just based on when we get together every Thursday, man, that we know more than the scouts do sometimes, man, because they miss when they swing and miss. They miss big. Okay, we've had some flops. We ain't gonna go with all that right now, unless you went through. But we've had some bad picks. But we've also had some surprising things happen, and so that's why this is so much fun, man. It's sort of like I don't know. It's a labor of love. It's what it is. Trying to get your team out, and we got two number ones this year, so that even makes it more crazy. Because normally you just hit for that, you swing for that one cat. Okay, we're gonna get him, and what are we gonna do with the 50th pick or whatever? Is what our next how we broaden our thinking. But now this time, man, we got. There's 11. What is it? The 16th and the 7th and 17th. The 6th and 17th. Shit, we got to regroup right after we're still going to be debating about whatever happens at pick number 6 by the time our next pick comes up. So I think this is going to be really, really a lot of fun, man. Really interesting, man. I can't wait.
Cool. Let's get into these tight ends real quick. Let's get into these tight ends, man. I think it was a shit show, for to be honest with you guys. Evan Engram, yeah. Red Ellison, Scott Simonson. This unit definitely needs some sort of improvement. I think a lot of this was unexpected from a Jerry Reese regime as far as picking up Evan Engram. This thing has not really panned out. And when I look at Red Ellison, I thought he was kind of overpaid when we got him from the Vikings a couple of seasons ago. Mm-hmm. You know, the Giants historically, outside of, you know, Shockey, the big game type tight ends, who pass receiving type tight ends. I thought this would have been more of an intricate part of the offense, especially with blocking, with Ellison and Simonson. I mean, they did some okay things, but nothing that would wow you. They're not game changing type tight ends. They're not like, if you look within the division, they're not like, what's his name? Zach Ertz. You know, they're not that.
Right.
And do you think Eli, could have used a little bit of that? Yeah, I think he could have used more of a security blanket at that position. Evan Engram was always hurt. And it's like every time you're about to go watch a Giants game, Chris, it felt like every time I'm about to watch a game, after game, whatever, you always got that notification or alert, Evan Engram's out for the game. It felt like it seemed like every week.
I know.
This guy.
I know. That was all year.
His availability, like staying on the field, was a huge issue last season. So I'm gonna just put it out there. I'm gonna put it out there right now. The whole unit is B minus. I don't like it at all. It definitely needs upgrade. That might even be factored into my mock draft. It needs an upgrade because we need somebody who could be both a dual threat. Blocking and receiving, we don't have that. You either have one or the other, and you got some of these guys locked in the contest for a couple more years. So it's like they're going to stick with them. They're not going to cut them. There's not going to be any dead cap to these. When you do release them. So I think that some of these guys might be around for another year. But as a unit in 2018, I did not like it at all, Chris. D minus for me, man.
That's it.
Okay.
That's not much better than
And why is that? Before we go to bait, give us your thoughts on that.
Me?
Yeah, you. Yeah, you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well. Okay. Tight ends. Let me go to the depth chart here. I don't really remember seeing Garrett Dickerson, so I'm not going to even give you that. I know he doesn't have good size. As far as playing that position, I don't know him, so I'm not gonna base an opinion on him. So right there, that's an incomplete. Scott Simonson, though, when he showed up, he wasn't a world beater, but his energy was nice. He came off injury reserve the year before. All I saw was his energy. He can block, he can catch a little bit, but he's not an athlete. He's a body. And that's pretty much all I saw out of him. Ellison, all I saw, he had the same season as he had the year before. He doesn't have any speed. He doesn't really have any quickness. He's an okay blocker, Steve. He's not a world beater in that either, which is one of the reasons we got him, because he was supposed to be so versatile. He has decent hands, but he's not Oh, man. Okay. We got a D anyway, so that's the end of Ellison. All right. Engram had two seasons. He had two seasons. I don't mean literally two seasons. He had two seasons and one last year. Okay? He had a couple of touchdowns early on before the bye, and he was injured with that hamstring thing, and he just didn't show up. That's it. So he really could have got an F. But after the bye, he came – he didn't actually come back then. He missed a couple of games, I think, right, after the bye. And he came back, and he had a couple of more touchdowns. He started to block a little bit, which shocked everybody. And he started to show up, and he was really kind of – the last three or four games, he really kind of showed out. or he at least gave it a decent effort, man. I mean, again, what we're going to talk about when it comes to Ingram is, and the reason they get a D on his group for me is that even though he's not built like a traditional tight end, you know, he's sort of like a, I don't know, wide receiver, H-back tweener kind of guy, he can't catch that ball. He can't create mismatches. He's quick. He's fast. He runs good routes. He's just not there yet. And he is all the tight end position for the New York Giants, as far as I'm concerned. Ellison had some moments as a blocker for Barkley, but that was about it. Evan Ingram is the be-all and end-all to this position on this team right now. As he comes back healthy and he is rejuvenated emotionally and mentally, I think he will get a good season out of him. But I'm actually agreeing with you. Let's go with a solid D on this one.
All right, let's go to Bakes. Bakes, what's your thoughts on the tight end unit?
My homie!
College boys in the building. What's up, Professor?
What?
Let's not play around. Tight end play, we got like a 2-for-1. We got one that's dynamic in speed, agility, and get out there, and they got one that's okay in blocking. It's like a 2-for-1. So basically, if you combine them, you'll get an okay tight end. That's an issue. Evan Ingram, injury prone, can't get in the lineup, stay in the lineup. And he has inconsistency issues when on the field of not making the catch. Not making the big catch to save the first, you know, for the first down and things like that, drop season, all that. We can't have that.
Right.
He's a young guy, 2 years in. He's on a rookie contract. I understand all that. Rhett Ellison is a head scratcher. I didn't even understand why they signed him and signed him to that kind of money. That first year in McAdoo, he never even got in the game. I don't know, he might have got like 12 snaps that whole season. He never got in the game because the sets that McAdoo ran, they don't use the tight end for blocking. So I didn't understand why we even signed him and why he's still on the roster. But, you know, he can't really catch. He's slow. All the things that the professor said, you know. And that's when another concern about, because now we got to waste another. I think they're going to spend another draft pick on a tight end. We had Will Tye last season, and Will Tye couldn't make the team behind those two guys, and he's gone. You know, we had Danelle, and Danelle started off hot and had the drop sheets. But we've had an issue at tight end since the last decent tight end we had was Bennett. But we didn't sign him in the free agency. But the last good one we did draft was really shocking. That was a dominant tight end, but, you know, he had an attitude issue and so on and so forth. But this core right here, it leaves a lot to be desired. I like Evan Ingram. I think he has potential, but he has to learn how to block. He has to learn how to stay healthy, because at that tight end position, you're going to get nicked up. He's not even really blocking. So why are you always hurt so many times? You need to stretch before the game, son. I don't know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going into his third year. I would expect a lot more out of him. There's going to be opportunities now for him to make more plays and more be an integral part of the offense potentially. But last season was really a shit show from the tight end spot. I don't know. There's not much really to say. The only way to look is up. But I think they're going to draft somebody. They're going to draft a tight end one of the picks. That's my feeling.
Right. Okay. I see.
All right. Big O, man, what's your thoughts on the tight ends?
Yeah, my bad. That mute button. Yeah, it's a mute button. Hey. Man. I heard Bates. I heard Arlie. Man. Man. We tight ends. We had tight ends? Man. Look. I'm like, based on Ellison, I'm going to scratch my head on that. Like, why did we sign this dude? I mean, I thought it was to bring in, to block, you know, play action. He come out, run some slants behind the tight ends, you know, use them a little bit. We didn't have any – we better use Ellison. Samuelson, right. Whatever, with Cyrison.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even grade the dude. How many times he played? Like, maybe if in total – a whole game through the whole season, I say total plays he played, he would say he played maybe I don't know, man. I barely seen the dude perform. I mean, when he was out there, somebody had to tap me and say he's out there, and I'm like, oh, okay. I'm looking at something else. Dickerson, whatever his name is, he's never in. So, I mean, that's why I asked, do we have tight end? Ingram, I don't like him, man. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people like him because he's fast and all that. To me, he's just not that traditional tight end to me, man. And we need a traditional tight end. He's a diva, man, to me, man. He's a pretty boy, man. Tight ends don't need to be pretty boys, man. Tight ends need granny, thick, can block, get behind linebackers, and play, you know, traffic football. Ingram is not that guy, man. I just think Ingram is just a slow wide receiver. That's what Ingram is to me. I don't think he's a guy that'll get in there and really get grimy because he can't stay healthy for anything, you know. So he has a big question mark to me. Last year, people was riding me for writing him off early, trying to say give him a chance, and I'm like, you know, I can see a pretty boy when I know a pretty boy when I see one, man. And I just think he's just too pretty, man. He's just not that dude to be playing the tight end for the Giants. You need to go to a team, man, that's got all these pieces, and you can come in there and get away with that. But here, you can't. And I can't just say that Ingram is going to be a good tight end. But I really think, if you ask me, and you're going to hear it part of my mock draft, I think he's going to be part of a trade. I really don't think the Giants can use him. I think he can fit somebody else's scheme. What we're trying to do, I think we need to find another tight end with some size and it can catch the ball, man. You ain't got to be too fast. But you got to block, man, and I don't think – Ingram is going to be that guy at all. So if you want, and you ask me about grading the tight ends, man, D. They get a D. They can't get no better than a D, man. We don't have tight ends, man. We really don't. We got a tight end that's just, like I said, a slow receiver. He's not your traditional a tight end. He's one of them spread tight ends. You run a spread and you can slap him up in there. And he can burn some tight ends, man. But when you got teams that come in there with good defenses, you got to play situational football. Good situational football, he's just not your guy. So I got to give him a D.
Cool. That's cool.
What about the other ones? What about, you mentioned Ellison. What about Simonson? Did you have any opinions on Scott Simonson?
Well, Simonson, Chris pretty much said it, man. He's a two-tier, three-tier tight end, man. He's not going to be no better than what he is now. I don't think he's going to break anything and make some noise. He's just a body. Just like Chris said, man, he's just a body. That roster, man, I think Gettleman is about to clean his whole roster, bro. I think these boys are not as hungry is not really fighters, man. When you bring in players, man, I don't care if they're 3-10, 2-10. Everybody got to have that kind of dog want to be able to want to start, man. And I don't think we have those type players, especially with the reach regime, man. We don't have those type players, man. We have people that thought they were sworn in. Hopefully we can get some cats in here and push and get in here that wants to start, man, that can make each position competition, make competition in each right. position. And we can have a good team. But the tight ends, definitely, man. We need that, man. There's no competition there, period.
Nope. Right. And, Chris, let me add to this, man, because, you know, O kind of took a little bit of my thunder for the mock draft, but I might as well just say that. I think Evan Ingram's getting traded on I think he's getting traded on draft night or right before it. Because, like he said, it's like getting rid of – it's just like any general manager for the most part in sports. You want to bring in your guys. Evan Ingram is not a Dave Gettleman guy. You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. style of play. Dave Gettleman's old school. He's already a Corsi type of GM. You know, they fall yep. from that tree from all the 90s and George Young. That's just not Evan Ingram. That's Jerry Reese. Remember, Jerry Reese was trying to right. break away from the old school mentality and just go a whole different yep. direction with flashy, skilled players, and it didn't work. Now, don't get me wrong. Barkley's a little bit of different. He's a stud of a running back as a flashy running back. But if you're talking about wide receivers and tight ends, and, you know, your Sterling Shepherds and Evan Ingrams. If Gettleman could hit the reset button on all that, he would. But it does take time. some of these teams are not going to just jump the gun because we want one of these players or a couple of these players gone. But however, you know how it is on draft night, all you guys, there's going to be some deals on the table. I could see Evan Engram gone. Now, for who or for what, I don't know. And think about it like this. A team like the Oakland Raiders would make a lot of sense. I think if they were to make a trade, Chris, Bakes, if Evan Engram was to go to a team, the Oakland Raiders seems like it's out of the conference, different, different conference, different division. They're in a situation they're trying to go to Vegas, in a year or two, whatever, they're building that stadium. Derek Carr needs weapons. They got Antonio Brown. They can use a guy who's, they're all about speed, vertical speed. Al Davis, going back to Al Davis, they were always about vertical speed on that for that franchise. You add Antonio Brown. You add in the other wide receiver, Williams from the Chargers. Now throwing to Evan Engram, you probably could get more out of him in the John Gruden offense than you would with Pat Shurmur and Shula. Chris, what you think about that as far as Evan Engram being traded?
Well, I don't have all the facts with me, but I think you're wrong on all counts, Steve, and O, when it comes to that.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you why. Number one, I see him actually in Denver than I do in Oakland, but that's another story. We have no depth behind tight end, and this is a tight end weak draft. Also, if you want to look at our receiver core, we're weak in that department too now. Okay? Shepard, I don't know which one is going to show up. A man we just got from Philly is a possession receiver who's never really played a 16-game schedule, okay, no matter where he's been. Golden Tate, that is. Okay.
Golden Tate, yeah.
The debt behind them, is adequate at best. There's no world beaters behind those two. Okay, we always have this problem. We've had it for the last six, seven years. So somehow, Engram he can be trade bait, but we got to get another receiver in there to do something with. We can't become a run heavy team no more. I mean, we can, but Barkley is the days of 18 to 20 yard carry. I mean, 18 to 20 carries a game are gone, man. We have to widen up our offense to compete in just our division alone, okay? Like Washington ain't going to do nothing, but look at their receivers. Look how mentally hungry they're going to be. I mean, their cornerback, rather, the secondaries. Look how hungry they're going to be when they come to play us just off emotion alone and retribution. You know what I'm saying? We have to be able to compete, and we need all the depth we can. And trading Evan Engram 2 years, young boy, 25 years old, still is a talent at the tight end position. Yeah, he's soft and pretty boyish. You're right, O. I agree with that. But there's not a lot we can do in terms of our depth. So he's going to have to stay. And we don't have a lot of trade bait either. We don't really have
a lot. Is my mic on?
Say again?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. I didn't think my mic was on. Hey, you know what I want to say? So I don't lose that thought coming back around. When you say we don't have no depth, when I look at this, when Gettleman was brought in and what I see Gettleman is doing, they already warned us already. This team is in a rebuild. They already accept that they don't see us winning right now. So those shouldn't be an issue that we should worry about getting rid of an anger. Those will be replaced. When you're rebuilding something and you want to put the right pieces all the way in them, you want to get everything in, the backups. The backups are hungry, everything in. So right now, if we lose, they already got us ready. Already, this we're not expected to win now, but I know you're trying to build and win now as well. So I'm not worried about the depth. I'm really not. I know they're going to replace it. I just think that Evan Engram is a good trade, has good trade value right now. Why not use that in the draft, and then and because you're building, and see if you can get a team to break you off something, that can work and add to this team, man, because the team had plenty of holes. That's why I said that. I mean, yes, he's all right, but I mean the way right now, the way I put him in, the way the team is designed, with Odell being gone and the way we're trying to change up things, I just say, look, man, look, if you're trying to build this team up, get all the value you can, trying to get all this re-stench off this team, you better get all the value you can. I also think Shepherd might be on the trade as well. So I don't think these two guys are safe on this team. So why? Because they just not that dog type, just grimy ass, just strong football type player. I really don't see it, man. I see we got finesses. He'd be a good slot receiver if we had a good one and we had a good two, and then, you know, Shepherd would be that guy that's eating guys at the slot. But we don't have none of that, man. So even when we had Odell, I'm sorry to tell you, big, strong corners frustrate Odell. You know what I'm saying? Because he's just not a big dude. He's hard to, it's hard for him sometimes to, if you put a hand on him and get a hand on him, he's a frustrated guy. He can't break off. So it was a lot of things, man, that played in that trade. And I don't think we got duped. I just think that, you know, we're moving on for the better of the team, trying to build a team that's going to be team versus I and flash players here and there, man. I see what's going on. So I love Ingram, but Ingram to me got to go, man.
Man, respectfully, oh, we got duped, man. Okay, we got duped. Wait a minute, Steve. I know we got an agenda to schedule, man. I gotta get this in. We got duped, bro. We got duped. We gave this dude the entire national park. Okay, last year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We gave him that. This year they traded him for beans. Okay? One draft choice? Nah, there should have been two draft choices and three players on for that caliber of cat. Not three players like, you know, I mean.
Wait. Did you not say on that Odell Beckham Jr.? Hold on. Did you not say on that Odell Beckham Jr. show that was a good trade? When you one of the people that
no,
said that
I gave
was
you
a
two
good
answers.
Trade?
Go back. Yes,
you know,
I did. Yes, I did.
Go
back
and listen to
Chicago. I gave you two answers.
Okay.
I gave you two options. I said it's a good trade It's a good trade if they're not finished trading yet. What happened was they stopped there. They should have did a Jimmy Johnson. They should have got this. There was what was it? The 17th pick and the other pick, and who else was Jabril Peppers, right? I think they got three players.
Right.
What they should have got was after that happened, somebody wanted that 17th, somebody wanted Jabril, and somebody wanted that third rounder or whatever it was. What they should have did right there is keep the trade process going. And they should have, but they didn't. They sat there. And I'm not sure, again, I got to pause that thought too, because I'm not sure if they're sitting yet. I mean, if they're not through, that is. Because like y'all just saying, what we're talking about right now, something else could happen where it involves Ingram, the 17th, maybe we got, three or four number fives? I mean, round fives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's something else, there could be something else to work. So, yeah. Yeah, I gave two different looks because, man, I'm going to tell you, last week, couple of weeks ago, people were agitated to no end, just like these folks are over here with this Bryce Harper guy. Our fans were just nuts. So I was trying to offer some kind of condolence, man, or some kind of solace for these cats to look at it from two or three different sides, because the truth of the matter is Odell's gone. And if you'll listen to that speech he gave earlier to that for his Cleveland press conference, man, yo, that was sad, man. It's almost like he was blindsided himself. So
right, he said that. He basically said that. Yeah,
that was sad. But anyway, I gave two different.
I mean, of course he was blindsided. They gave him $65 million guaranteed. Of course I would be blindsided too. Like you gave me the contract. He's the one saying hi because you gave me this money and then you trade me. You're a bunch of dumbasses. You know?
Yeah, there's something. One day we're going to find out, but there's something else that happened there. There's something else that was going on. It seemed like as soon as Antonio Brown got that money, then all of a sudden he was gone because there's something there that's not right. But that's another story. We talk about draft, we talk about tight ends.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Let's get back to Bakes. Now, Bakes.
Where's my man at? Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Yeah, what's your thoughts as far as tight end makeup? Like, how do you like your tight ends to be? Like, you want more blocking, more, like, what kind of player, what tight end do you favor, like, historically And then how do you think about Gettleman, his approach looking at the Titans as well? How do you mix the two if you can add? And you heard Big O's thoughts. You heard Chris's thoughts, my thoughts. What about Evan Engram as trade bait? I know that's a lot of throw at you, but definitely like to get your perspective.
All right. So first and foremost, at this point, after they traded my guy, everyone except for Saquon, for me, they could trade. I really don't care. Everyone except for Saquon can go. I know we root for the front of the jersey at the back, but I'm going to always say, and I'm going to always say this till the day they put me under, give up on talent. You make that shit work. And I don't know what that dude did. We like Professor just said, we'll find out years from now that just let him think that shit was okay. And I'm sorry, that was a bad trade. That's going to set us back. But I'm going to be quiet about it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to sit back. Now, in terms of the tight ends that I think the New York Giants need in terms of talent, you need a multifaceted, multidimensional player that he's strong on the edge, blocking, helping out left or right side, strong blocking in the run game, pass game, and leaking out, is dynamic down the field, can get up and take balls up the middle, jump balls that you know you put it up high. He's going to come down with it, and he's dynamic, and you can count on him like the clock. He's going to be there. Guys like Mark Bavaro, guys like what's the dude to play in Cleveland, his son. And the Bob, you know,
yeah.
Kellen Winslow, and son, dumb kind of dude, you know what I'm saying, A. Gates before he got injury-prone, dynamic. You know what I'm saying? You stick them there, and you know you're good for 10 years. We don't have that. We haven't had that since Shockey. Dynamic, makes plays, shreds blocks, things like that. That's what we're lacking, and we haven't had that in years. The closest thing we had was Bennett. That one year we had Bennett ball for us, but we didn't want to give him. We didn't want to give him the money, so we let him go. And in terms of trade bait, possibly. But I think the problem is because what the Giants did by trading Odell gave signal to the league of a fire sale. So now they can't get value. You're coming off a bad back-to-back bad season. You paid your top talent. You heard Manning when he asked him who's the most talented player, and he didn't stutter. He said Odell.
Yep.
You're trading your top talent, that signals fire sale to the league, to the fans, rebuild, fire sale. Then you stop wheeling and dealing. Didn't make any sense. Because like Professor, didn't make any sense. Now, when you try to move pieces now, you're going to get gouged because everybody in their mind is thinking like, yo, it's a fire sale. They just took any deal. People said the other teams said they had better deals. My friend, when the trade happened, he said, yo, San Francisco was offering a number two for him. They didn't take that deal. They claimed they didn't get a deal. You know, and a lot of things I don't believe. I think they wanted him out of the division if they were going to trade him. That's probably one of the reasons. They wanted him out of the division so they didn't have to see him. Because if they traded in San Francisco, you would see him at least once a year, every other year. They didn't want that. I believe San Francisco offered that too for him. So, we're gonna let that go. If we're gonna, that's why the wheeling and dealing stopped because it's a fire sale. And now they're realizing, yo, when AB went and he set the market low, they were like, oh, we gotta hurry up and trade this dude now before the market get lower. And then they traded him for that, and the market got lower. So now, what can you get? I mean, he's not dynamic. He didn't have 10 touchdowns. He didn't have
right.
8 catches.
He's probably like a five.
Right.
I think he's about
and
a five.
And what you picked him in the first round, right? So that doesn't really make sense.
You lost out on it. You're right.
Right. So now, yeah, exactly. We're in fire sale. Everything must go. New York Giants got written on the front door. That's the problem. That's why they're
Let me ask you this, though. See, I agree with the fire sale part, but what about the aspect of building the roster, the players you want? they because he's not the fit because he's from the previous general manager. So if you get a replacement, not necessarily a tight end, but a replacement that fits what you're trying to go, is it worth it?
Okay, so I'm going to flip it back to you. So you get rid of OBJ, you get a draft pick, and a pretty good safety, and then you sign your only major free agent sign is Golden Tate. Does that sound like it makes sense to you? Because it don't make sense.
You already know my take. Up until this point,
right,
you already know it doesn't make sense to me.
That doesn't make sense to me.
I'll put it like this. Golden Tate.
Dynamic. So, and I'm going to ask you, I personally don't like that mentality that they have in sports, that my guy bullshit. I find it to be bullshit. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a cultural thing, but I find it to be bullshit. Because you're telling me, yo, I can't play with two. It's like, yo, I can't bring Steve on the show because he's not my guy. That don't make no sense to me. Maybe because I'm not at the top or anything, that don't make no sense to me. Now, I'm not saying if I had an opportunity to run a show, I won't do something. I was like, yo, I'm going to bring in Steve, I'm going to bring Professor, I'm bringing O, because I know them. But if I know a guy that's talented and we get along, you know what I'm saying, and we can work, we work. Of course, it's a lot easier to make things work when there's no discourse or anything, of course. But to rip down a roster just to replace him with your guy, how long is that going to take? I personally don't feel Gettleman is going to last in tenure. Neither is Pat Shermer. But that's just my take. Because when the fans are not going to take too many losing seasons, I'm telling you that. Tight now on the OB take. You know what I'm saying? So they're not going to sit here for 3 or 4 more seasons because that's what we're looking at. We're not going to be competitive this year. We're not.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that.
That's going to be year
Chris,
three.
Let's go. You got anything? Matter of fact, Biggs, you got a question for Big O when it comes to this? And then we'll bring on Lit and then get everybody else's thoughts and final thoughts. You got a question for Big O, Biggs, if any, on this side of topic?
My question is, as I just said, do you believe that Gettleman and Shermer or any other combination of that front office is going to see their tenure through and see this potential build, rebuild through? You think he's going to last his contract?
I, you know what? I'm just like you, Jates. No, I don't think so. Right now, I'm hoping they know what they're doing because they're paid to do the job. But I'm going to totally be totally honest. The Odell trade was personal. It was personal. It wasn't too business. It was nothing business. If you see it was business, then you're blind. I mean, some of it was business, but because they were trying to get as much as they can out the deal, but it was totally personal because I'm going to tell you like this, man. I learned about these teams. If you're not the quarterback, you can't be a vocal player and tell the truth on this team. You can't go on shows and talk and even try to – you don't even have to call people out by name, but even try to do it, you know, in a way where you're not really calling people names out and people still figure out you're talking about a certain player or two. You just can't do it, man. When Odell took that interview, that kind of – them folks – it kind of rubbed them folks the wrong way. I'm not saying, and he was right of what he said. I don't think he said anything wrong, but he knew that drew a red flag with them, and it actually embarrassed the team because he really called out Shermer and everybody, and everything he said was true. Shermer really got out-coached a lot of those games. He got out-coached. You know, Eli can't throw the ball down 20 yards down the field, you know what I'm saying? So, he was saying some real things, man, and it rubbed the organization the wrong way. And I learned when you tell the truth nowadays, truth is either you're hating or, you know what I'm saying, you get crucified for it. And that's basically what it was, man. Odell could have went to San Francisco. He wanted to go to San Francisco. They didn't want him to go there. They traded Odell to Cleveland on purpose, you know, Bates said. That was on purpose. You know, I can see an Odell face in his interview. I can just read body language. He's saying all the right things, but Odell's not happy. Odell would have rather been here, and we got us a quarterback that can buy time, a little bit better line, and we on and popping, man. That trade there was very personal, and I think Mara had an issue with Odell, too. For you to come out and say your grandkids were crying and not talking to you because you got rid of Odell shows me that it was a personal move, and you didn't even have to come out and do and explain what you did, because to be an owner, if you made a move and you made a decision, stick with it. You ain't got to explain. It's business. But when you're doing all that explaining, it clearly showed me, man, it was personal.
Wow.
Eli has many, many, many years left.
Oh, God. Oh,
Suns God. Out, guns out, boys. Suns out, guns out.
Lord,
hey,
I
apologize for being late to the party. I appreciate you jettisoning me in very quickly. I was listening to what Bakes had said, and I just kind of want to give a 30-second little spiel, and if Bakes wants to chime back in, you can mute me. But here is what I, in my opinion, what is going on here. David Gettleman is getting rid of all of the complexes that can exile him out of here, a la the Carolina situation. As you know, nobody on this roster has any clout. There's no prima donnas. There is nobody that will challenge him, question him, say shit to him. He is completely insulated and protected in this situation. Not one player has the clout to go to the ownership and say, he's not treating me right, he's disrespecting me, he's offering me X, Y, and Z, he's got to go. There won't be one, two, or three players that will go upstairs. He has stripped this team down to where he's the boss, it's a pecking order, and he rules the roost. And you don't cross the boss or your ass is out of here. Plain and simple.
Hey, by the way, can we get your grades on the tight ends real quick before we get around to the final call?
Oh, hey, I appreciate you asking me. On the tight end, C plus, maybe a B minus, but C plus.
Why?
Inconsistency, injuries. It was a by committee. You had one guy that would show up, that would do good, he'd disappear. It was a platoon situation. While Egram was playing, sure he was great, but as a whole, it'd be a C plus, B minus.
All right. Thank you very much. Definition of lit. Stay right there before we get off. Big O, let's get your final thoughts as well. Big O, give us your final thoughts.
Well, final thought is, man, we need a tight end, but I don't think we're desperate. I can't wait to see this mock draft to see what everybody's thinking. Again, man, I just can't wait for the draft, man. I really just can't wait, man. Just like Chris said, there is something else in the making. I think there is something big, something else big is going to happen, because I think Gettleman did say another big move was going to happen. I'm thinking it's the QB move. You ask me, I think if it's not Rosen with the second pick, with us trading the second pick on draft day, it's got to be a move with the Raiders to move up to grab Hap. That's my bold prediction on that. But you'll know on mock draft week what I'm thinking. That's it, man.
I was thinking the same exact thing, O. I was thinking the same exact thing, O. It's crazy. We're on such the same accord with this shit. Holy shit. Shout out to the Big O. Let's get your Bakes, your final thoughts on the tight ends episode.
Final thought is, I think the Giants leadership is up for questioning. Tight ends, we need someone. But right now, I don't know what the plan is. I don't even have a symbolism of what I think they're going to do. I can't read the tea leaves. I can't phone a friend. I don't know what to do because the move that they're making, the move that they're making versus what they're saying is totally contradictory. So I don't know what's going to happen. But we need a true three dimensional tight end, and we don't have one on the roster. My prediction for the draft, I think if they don't trade for Rosen, I think they're going to go defense heavy, and I don't think we're going to draft a quarterback until probably third round.
Yep.
I don't think. They're so stuck on Eli and
Paul. Hold on, man. Hold on. You're a week ahead of schedule, man, when it comes to that.
My bad.
You're a week ahead.
But anyway.
Hold on.
We'll talk
anything
more
else,
about
man?
That. Listen, NYG Frontline is on Instagram. Frontline is NYG on Twitter. The Frontline is on Facebook. Like you said, we got Tampa, the Chicago third annual is coming up. And the homecoming game. So look out for that information, plus a lot of other things. We will be at the draft. I will be at the draft. Azul will be at the draft. And we'll be on the front lines figuring it out, whether we're going to be laughing or crying. So I don't know. Bleed blue.
Cool. Shout
Bleed
out
blue,
to the
gentlemen.
Base, man. Thank you very much. Chris, got any words for us, man?
I just want to remind everybody to check out the social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, Bleed Blue Show. Check out Bleed Blue Show for all our archives, man, for all the teams, Yankees, Rangers, and Knicks as well. And, hey, look, man, look, this draft special next week is going to be bananas. We're going to have a lot of fun. I invite everybody to tune in. It's going to be great. We have another I don't know what we're doing, Steve. I don't know whether we're really, and this is for all of y'all, I don't know whether we're rebuilding or remodeling. I don't know what we're doing. I really have no idea sometimes. I suspect we may get a quarterback late, or we may find out by Monday that Rosen's on the team. Okay, I don't know what's happening. I couldn't tell you, so I'm not going to speculate anymore. I just want to say farewell, Curtis Riley and Kerry Wynn. You know, hope everything works out for you guys. And, look, check y'all out later. Bleed blue.
Yo, Chris, I got here's my final thoughts. I have nothing to do with the Giants, man, because we covered all areas of the team. So if anybody want my thoughts and all the Stickles thoughts, it's all on the website, iTunes, Podcast Republic, so on and so forth.
Right.
Three questions for you, Chris. Who wins the question number one, who wins the Final Four? Who wins the championship by Monday night?
This is going to be the best Final Four in years. This is going to be the best Final Four in years, and this is going to on paper. I want to say Michigan State because I don't think Texas Tech has any offense, but I think we're going to get shocked and Auburn is going to race by everybody and shock the entire world. I really do think so.
All right. Question number two: how many rounds, Terrence Crawford, Amir Khan? I know that's in a couple of weeks, but
I think he's going to go.
How many rounds?
But there's gonna be at least Khan is gonna get. No, they may trade knockdowns. They may trade knockdowns, and there's gonna be one controversial moment in that fight, probably around the 10th. I'll stay right there.
And then about a full month from now, Saul Alvarez or Daniel Jacobs. That's an interesting one.
That's
a month from now, but I might as well ask. I don't know another good time to ask you. May I
gotta stay with Alvarez right now. Let me check it out. Let me do some more looking again because I missed his last fight. I gotta. Steve, I can't answer that yet.
He had a cupcake. He had a cupcake that last fight, but that was that opening fight on Dazzler at the Garden. So that Dazzler.
Okay, well, I didn't like that.
That's some good stuff. Nah,
okay. I'm going to go with Alvarez right now, early on. Where's he good at?
I got to say this because before we get cut off. Next week, of course, is our annual stakeholder draft, a full two-hour episode, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I swear,
you gotta
all
the
stakeholders who are going to be on that episode, you have to call it at the start of that episode. Because if you call in later, like the people may call in who's on this episode, who's not on here, you may not get in, man. That is a testament of this platform of what all the great things Big O said, because it's about doing your homework, doing your research, and we're going to carry out that thought process on that episode. I can't wait till April 11th. I'm almost done with my draft for it, and a lot of the stuff, even Bakes kind of iterated it, and Big O iterated it, where I think this is going, man. So, Sangria Su, April 11th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, two-hour episode. The best in the business, the Bleacher Show.
This team sucks, man.
We got to get Billy Bob on that episode, man. We got to find him. We need to hear from him on that.
Yeah,
we really do.
I'm in my feelings right now, bro.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.